Thank God. All right. Well, we started a new series last week called Healing in Our Words. Not sure how long it'll be, but let's turn over to Romans 10, 9, 10 quick, and then we'll move on from there. We're going to review a little bit. Is anybody not here last week? Is anybody that wasn't here last Wednesday? Okay. So we're going to review anyway, go over a few scriptures. But Romans 10, 9, and 10. So we're talking about healing and our words. But this is a general concept. This isn't just, all these things essentially that we talk about on Wednesdays. We talk about some specific things to healing, but a lot of it, it's faith and healing. So anything that relates to one, to faith in one area, you can relate to another area. It works. Faith works the same in every area. You guys know that? It works the same in every area. So we're going to go through some things. They apply generally, and everything we're going to say applies generally, but we're going to relate it specifically to healing. But Romans 10, 9, and 10. Read this quite often. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you believe with your heart, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and it says that you would be saved. So we're saved by hearing words, hearing the word of God. The Bible says there in Romans, faith comes by what? By hearing. Faith does not come by praying. Faith does not come by begging. Amen. I wish I had more faith. Doesn't come by wishing. Doesn't come by asking God for it. God, grant me more faith. That's an unscriptural prayer. I know people pray it, but it's not. God, give me more faith to make it through this situation. That's not what you need to do is pray. That's not how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so when we hear the word of God preached, faith will come. And we need to act on it. So you're born again by hearing the word of God and then speaking words. Notice that it says that. For with one, the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you confess, you say Jesus is Lord, I believe Jesus is Lord, and by that confession, you're born again, you become a child of God. So we are saved by hearing words and speaking words. In the same token, you are healed by hearing words, the word of God, and by speaking words. It's the same principle. The same principle we use to be born again is the same way we can be healed. They're all in the same plan of redemption. So we read, though, before we go on into talking specifically about how we release faith, what we're going to be saying is we release our faith. So you can have faith, but you need to release it. And you release it by words. Whether we know this or not, it's true, and people exercise it every day. In the positive sense or the negative sense. You're speaking something, and as James says, your tongue is a rudder. It directs our lives. It's really powerful. What we say directs our lives. That's a sobering thought. Selah. What we say directs our lives. You can see this, but it just becomes more and more real to me. What we're saying is going to end up determining our destiny, because what you say is going to determine direction in your what you do during any given day, and what you do as habits, and then you're going to end up somewhere. But before we go, we touched on these scriptures. I'm going to read through them, I think, rather quickly tonight. You can go back and listen to the first message if you need to review. But let's read John 5. We're going to turn to, let's do this. Why don't you find John 5, find Mark 4 and find Matthew 14. So three different Gospels. John 5. And we don't have to stop. John 5, Mark 4, and Matthew 14. John 5, Mark 4, Matthew 14. John 5, Mark 4, Matthew 14. Everybody found John 5? All right. Okay, everybody found Mark 4? Everybody found Matthew 14?
Yes.
No? Got it? All right, John 5. So, we're talking about, and we're going to be talking about how healing in our words, but like I said, this is a general principle. But as we're going there, I just want to spend some time on divine intervention. We talked about it last week. We're just going to review quick, because there's a lot of people that are actually waiting for God to move, to initiate something on His own, instead of realizing that we need to release our faith. Okay? We need to act, and we can be sitting there waiting for God to initiate something, and He does do that from time to time, but it's not the norm, and you can't control it. You say, why does he do that? I don't know. Ask Him. We have the Word. That's what we have. So I'm going to show you a few instances in the Word. We have the Word, and He doesn't play favorites. God said, the Bible says He doesn't show favoritism to any man, but there are certain reasons which are, I don't know, but God does initiate certain things on His own, but He is a just God. So just settle that. He's just. And we have the opportunity to act on the Word that we've heard. That's why it's so important to hear the Word. You need to know that you need to have the Word so you can act on it. But the way you're going to release, and I'm, you know, kind of giving you ahead of time where we're going, but just it'll help you see some of the context that we're talking about tonight. We have the responsibility to release our faith with our words. And like we said, James, we're not taking the time to turn over there, but James says your tongue is a rudder. So in the instance of healing, we can be facing something in our body. It could be small, it could be large, but we act in faith the same way, whether it's healing or any other way, whether it's salvation. You hear the Word, and then you have to act on it. You believe. One of the primary ways you act on it is by your words. And if we don't, if we say, well, I'm waiting for God to do something, well, it'll happen, I'll be healed in God's time. And a lot of people that are in denominations, they believe God can heal. They don't believe it's God's will all the time. And they don't understand why some people get healed and some people don't. There are reasons for that. I'm not claiming to know everything about it. But what they'll say is they'll pray, and then they'll say, if the person got healed, then it was the will of God. You ever hear this? This is what people really believe. Yeah. How do you know if it was God's will or not? Well, the person got healed. Well, then that must mean the people that get... See, you go down this path, it leads not in a good place. Well, if people get saved, are those the only people that God wills to get saved? No, but there's people that believe that. There's a whole section of doctrine that believes that we're predestined. You can't do anything about it. Yeah. That's not gospel. The Bible says we have a choice. We have to act on the Word. Well, what about if you prayed for somebody and you don't see a manifestation of healing, right? That, well, must not have been God's will. If we're going to determine God's will by the conditions that we see, we're going to miss it. If you just say, well, everything in the world that as it is right now is God's will. Really? Look at the junk that's going on every single day. Yeah. And we're going to say, that's God? Yeah. Well, just because you prayed, well, it must not be God's will. The person didn't get healed. Well, no. How do you determine the will of God? What the Word says is the will of God. So whether we see something or not, we got to believe what the Word says. And so you need to believe it a lot of times before you see it. In fact, you can't believe anymore once you see it. It's too late to believe because then you have it. It's too late to believe when you see it. And so people say this, well, I don't have it yet. I prayed, but, you know, I don't have it. Well, how would you know you don't have it? Well, I can't, you know, it's not there. Well, when are you going to start believing that you have it? Well, when it shows up. It's too late to believe it then. It's too late. Yep. You can't start believing once it's there. You have to believe now. You have to believe when the Word says it, you have to act on it. So there's a lot of people that are sitting in a situation where they need healing, and what they're really doing is waiting for God to do something independently of them. They're saying, God, move. Well, and even faith people, quote unquote, people that have been exposed to exactly the message we're talking about, word of faith, you want to call it, that the Word, that we can believe the Word, will say, I don't know why it hasn't happened. I'm waiting for God's timing. What is that? That's waiting for God to step in and do something as if he hasn't done it. All right, so we're going to go get into this. That's where we're going somewhat. But John 5, I'm going to give you some quick examples of different parts where God did step in and do something. John 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches, you know, five places for people. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Let me ask you a question. Can angels affect the natural realm? Yes, they can. They just stirred up the water. Can spirit affect matter? Yeah. Well, we can't measure it with our tools. That's not saying it's not real. That's saying that your tools just aren't advanced enough. Well, we can't detect God. Okay? So what? So he's not real. No. Well, this was just, you know, hocus pocus. This is just fables. No, there's real. There's a spirit realm right now. There are angels in this room. And they're in operation right now. Yes. Right now. And if you could see them right now, they'd be saying, yep, that's right. Seriously. I don't know. I mean, I can't look at. I don't know where they are. I don't know how many there are here. I do know you can get from what the scriptures say. They say his angel, their angels are always before me. There is. That's where you get the concept of, you know, a guardian angel. You have at least one around you. So however many people are in here. They're real, and they can affect the natural realm. So don't ever think you're in a situation, there's no hope. If you need protection, the Bible promises us protection. You need to act on it and act like it's true. Angels can protect you. It may look like there is no way out of a situation they can change matter. I mean, they can move stuff. They can shield you. They can do stuff. It's in the Bible. You don't know. You say, how does that work? I don't know. I don't have to know. I'm not a mechanic like you guys are. Okay? I don't want to fix my car in the engine. If it's seriously in there, I don't want to mess with it. I take it to the dealer. They'll mess with it. I'll just mess it up. I'm not good like that. But I can drive. I drive my car back and forth to work every day. And it works for me. And I know if I press the gas, it goes. I like to punch the car on the on-ramps when I'm on, you know. I do. I don't do it all the time, but, you know, why have a peppy car if you can't punch it? You don't need to go 100. You can get up to the speed limit fast. But it works for me. But I don't need to understand it. We don't need to understand how does that work? You know, what's the physics involved? I don't care. Honestly, it works. You come to the place where you believe what God said. People say that's ignorance. You're just blindly believing. If you're going to wait to prove everything, prove there's a God. Good luck. People discount everything about it. We got to believe what the Word of God says. But anyway, it says here, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water." Do you believe it happened just like it says here? "Then whoever stepped in first after stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." Do you believe that? So then it gives an example of a certain individual that stepped in. But this is an example of God doing something on his own. Nobody's believing this, and not that we have recorded. Doesn't say anything about somebody believing the faith. God, an angel from heaven, came down and stirred up the water. "And was anybody that stepped in after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." Doesn't matter what the disease was. Doesn't matter if the person was blind. Doesn't matter if they couldn't walk. Doesn't matter if they're deaf. It just says the first one. So, God did that on his own. Nobody initiated that. God initiated that. And he will do things like that. The first person that got in. Notice the second person did not get healed. The third person did not. I'm sure there was more person probably jumped in. Because they're all going. You know, maybe they're scooting. But they're trying to get there. And, you know, if you're all, let's say there was a couple guys jumping, they're in the air. Well, the first one that got in was healed. The second one didn't. Third one didn't. If there's boom, 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 splash, 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 splash. One healed. One guy comes up victorious. The rest of them, they don't get healed. Well, say, well, why is that? I don't know. Go ask God about it. Why did he do that? I don't know. He's God. So turn over to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. You guys already had that, right? So we're all queued up. "On the same day," verse 35, "on the same day when evening had come, he said to them," Jesus said to them, "let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. They awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm." Well, that's a miracle. "But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" So, last this, you know, reviewing a little bit here, but this did not happen because the disciples believed. Because in verse 40, it's Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So we know it didn't happen because of the disciples' faith. But Jesus said at the beginning, you look in verse 35, he says, "Let us cross over to the other side." He did not say, "Let us go halfway and sink." He didn't say, "We're going to start out, but this will end in destruction. So expect it. We're going to hit a storm. We're not coming out of this alive." He didn't say it. He said, "Let's go to the other side," right? Well, I always say, when we go on a trip, you know, we're going to Nebraska or whatever we're going, "Lord, thank you. We're going to get in that plane. We're going to go from Boston all the way to Nebraska, and Nebraska all the way to Boston, safe. We're going to go to the other side. We're going to come back. And that's it. And we're protected all the way. We're not crashing." I'm telling you, When we're on a plane, and that's what the kids were there too. This is the safest place any of these people could be right now. I'm not saying that because I'm not. We're not arrogant. Honestly, if I were going to go down, I'd want to go down with all my family. We said, I mean, we're just like, if, you know, there's some people around us, like you guys, maybe Mrs., but you know, if we're going to go down, we're gone and we're in the presence of Jesus. People back here aren't happy, but we're out. And none of the immediate family has to deal with it. But that isn't going to happen. I mean, if you got to be led by God, that's why you don't want to do something knee-jerk. You want to be in the right place, but we should have confidence. No, this thing ain't going down. It's not. It just won't. I don't care if an angel has to be out there and prop that wing up and hold it to get us in. It's not going down. Period. Amen. Well, how do you never know? No, you do know. The Bible says that he will give his angels charge over you. You will not dash your foot against a stone. Well, if you go down in a plane, that's a lot worse than dashing your foot against a stone. You going into the earth. No, that's not going to happen. No, never. You just say no. And this is a good thing. The enemy brings a thought to your mind about anything bad happening, whether it's you crashing, whether it's something with your kids, whether you getting a disease, you being crippled, whatever. You say, no, that will never happen to me. Say it out loud if you have to. That goes along with what we're saying. We're talking about, you say, if there's nobody around, you say, no, that will never happen to me. And don't you entertain it. Don't start playing a few, you know, loops of it in your head. Well, what would that be? Oh, that'd be so sad. What if that happened to my child? Oh, don't even let yourself think about it. Just shut it down. Put it out and say, no, that will never happen to me. That will never happen to my children. And put it out of your head and go on. Because you know your mind, it wants to just, well, oh, that'd be so gut-wrenching. What if that happened? What would I feel? Don't entertain it. Don't even give it like it's a possibility that could ever happen. You just shut it down. But Jesus said, verse 35, let us cross over to the other side. So, question like we said last week, could the disciples have believed? Did they have to be afraid in the storm? No. If Jesus said, we're going to the other side, and it's blowing, you say, well, he said we're going. So, you know, all this is going to have to change one way or another because we're going to the other side. But that's not what they did. They got upset. But this was not because the disciples had faith. It wasn't because of anything natural. Jesus did it independent. Hey, why? I don't know. But he did it. So go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 25. Matthew 14, verse 25. Are you there? All right. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost, and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So it wasn't Peter's faith that saved him. He had a little faith to walk on the water for a while, but then he started to sink, and the Lord in his own goodness and kindness reached out and saved him. But it wasn't Peter's faith that did that. Jesus did that, independent of Peter. You guys get that? Because you say, well, that's just Peter walking on the water. All he had to do is reach out. Well, I don't know how far he had to reach. You assume he was that close, but you know, I don't know. You don't know. Just said, well, people say, well, he's so close. Well, or God reached out, you know. You know, they ever seen that one guy? I can't remember. Guy's real stretchy. One of the superheroes, huh? Yeah, but there's another one. Yeah. These guys are into superheroes. But, you know, you don't know. He saved him. But, you know, think about it. People are going a little while in their faith walk and they believe, and then they're just like, God saved me, but they're not believing. What they really want is, Jesus, just reach out your hand and save me. But see, God did that, but that's not a pattern. Did you hear me? That's not a pattern for, well, Jesus did it for Peter. Yeah, he did it for Peter. It wasn't because Peter was believing Jesus. It wasn't because he was believing God. In his mercy and kindness, he did that. And it can boggle our minds when he does that, saying, well, I don't understand. It's mysterious. Why? I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hands. Don't say anything. Do you know somebody that maybe you've known for a long time? Maybe a spouse, maybe someone. Do you know everything about that person? Do you know everything about the people you work with? Why they do everything? So if these are human beings and we don't know, what about God, who's infinite? I mean, but we're supposed to know why he does everything. We don't know. You don't know why he does everything. He's just. He will always follow his word. But in this case, people will be going, they'll be walking. They need help. They want help. And they'll say, God, help me. But God has already said certain things in his word and promised things in his word. And it is not the pattern for him to act independently like this all the time. That's divine intervention. But that's not the norm. And if we're waiting for that, then we can die, or we can do without whatever it is we're believing, because us crying to God and saying, God, I need it, is not faith. Does not make it happen. If our need as human beings moved God, then God, everybody on the world would already be saved, because we all need a Savior. If it moved God, there are people all over the world that need healing, but they're not healed. It's because God does not move based on need. He doesn't move based on want. He doesn't move based on desire or begging. It's not because he's withholding. It's because he has already given. And the way it works is, things are given in this earth. They've been paid for by Jesus. But the way you access what's been paid for by Jesus is by faith and saying, that's mine. I believe what you did, and you take it now. And you act on it now. Nobody can keep you from receiving a blessing that God has promised when you receive it by faith. But if we say, I'm going to wait until God does this in my life, I don't know why it's taking a long time, but it must be his will, I'll wait. We can be waiting until. You guys hear me? There isn't a mechanism. You say, well, I've waited long, it's 10 years or it's 15 years. No, your life is but a vapor. Mine's but a vapor, and our whole life can go by if we're waiting and we still won't receive it. And there's a whole lot of Christians that believe they're waiting on God to do something independently, like some of these miracles, and they're saying, I'm waiting for that. God, I need it. God, why won't you move? As if God is withholding. See, God's not withholding. Now, I don't understand why he's moved in certain areas, but those are called manifestations of the Spirit, as the Spirit wills. But every believer can act in faith at any time. And it's our choice. We can believe, we can choose to believe what Jesus already did, and a big way we release our faith is by what we say. We start saying, instead of saying, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll insert it here, bear repetition later. And instead of saying, I just don't know why, I've tried to believe, why hasn't this happened yet? God, where are you? We change that and start going in a different direction and say, Lord, thank you that I am strong. Thank you that you are bigger than any situation. Thank you that the healing power is working in me now and I am healed and whole according to your word. I can do whatever I need to do. Thank you that I'm strong. My arms and legs are strong to do what I need to do. I can see clearly. I can hear whatever it is. I thank you that it's true now. I'm not waiting for it. I have it. And you say, well, it's not there. No. Now's when we believe. You said it, so it is. And I'm acting like I'm going to go about doing things that I can't. I'm going to start pushing into the area that I couldn't do. If I'm having trouble with one of my limbs, I'm going to start moving it, doing things I couldn't do before. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to start pushing it. But I'm saying it, which is the rudder. Now, I'm going to read you some examples that'll illustrate this. Brother Hagin has some accounts here of different examples, different people facing the same type of challenge. And I want you to notice how the different individuals reacted and what they got for results. And hopefully this will illustrate what we're talking about as far as God intervening and us acting on the Word. I'm going to read it the way, in his words. So he says, I remember a dear lady who was bedfast. So let me say this before I go forward. So people are waiting for God to initiate something out of the ordinary. And he may or may not do that, but God's best all the time. Say God's best all the time is for us to receive by his word. By faith. By claiming it in faith. See, there are things that are available in the spirit realm. Jesus has purchased them. People say, well, why don't they just move into this realm? They're moved in this realm by believing them. The faith is the hand that takes what Jesus has purchased and brings it into this realm. Makes it appear. By faith. By faith. You see it with the eye of faith before you see it in the natural. You believe you receive it, the Bible says. In Mark 11, you believe you receive it. Didn't say you have it. It said believe you receive it and you will have it. It'll show up. But while it's showing up, what do? You believe you receive. I have it. Well, don't look like you have it. I believe I receive I have it. I believe I received it. I believe I received it. Therefore, by faith I have it. Now, he says, I remember a dear lady who was bedfast with terminal cancer. Now, notice this. Medical science did all they could for her. Then they gave her up to die. This lady was not a member of the church where I was preaching, but the pastor had visited her, and she told him that she wanted me to come and pray for her. I went with the pastor to visit her. As always, I looked to the Lord to see if he would initiate or say something on the inside. He's looking. He's checking. He didn't say anything. So he says, as always, I looked to the Lord to see if he would initiate or say something. He didn't say anything. I didn't have any kind of manifestation of the Spirit. So there wasn't a move of the Spirit. There wasn't a manifestation of the Spirit. Well, what do you do if the Lord doesn't initiate something? You give people the Word of God. You put the Word into them in order to get them to believe God. And you can get them, if you can get them to believe God, then you can agree with them. So that's what I began to do with this lady who was dying of cancer. I began to give her the word so that she could believe and be healed. Notice that. It doesn't matter what the circumstance was. The word always works. Everybody say it. The word always works. See, some people are waiting. No, I need a move of the Spirit. You can't control that. But you can't always control it. The word works. I began to give her the word so that she could believe. How does faith come? Comes by hearing. And be healed. And she wasn't interested in believing the word of God. She was convinced that there was a person somewhere who was going to heal her. And I can't tell you how many people are in this situation. They go to every meeting, wherever somebody is laying on hands, they've been laid on, they've had hands laid on them by so many people. And what they do, here's what they do. They go up to the front, they get hands laid on, and I'm not knocking getting hands laid on you, okay? It's scriptural and I believe it. But I'm talking about there are individuals that go over and over and over and over. They go up, they get hands laid on them, and then you know what the first thing they do after hands are laid on them? They check their symptoms. And if anything's different, if nothing's different, they say, well, I didn't get anything. That's not faith. And people go, unless there is a true manifestation of the Spirit, those people will never be healed. So she was convinced that there was a person somewhere who was going to heal her. I told her, I'm sorry to disappoint you, sister, but there is no one anywhere who can heal you or anyone else. No person can do it. She said, well, I'll just lie here and hope that there will be. I said, you will die in hope then. And I'm sad to say that she did die. Now, I'm going to give you another example here. He says, I knew another woman who was bedfast and dying with terminal cancer. She had deteriorated to the point where she couldn't even feed herself, much less get out of bed. As we prayed together, there was a manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, the Lord initiated something. Now, please understand this. I can't initiate a manifestation of the Spirit. I am not God. But as I prayed for this woman, I heard the Lord speak to me and tell me to do something. So I did what he said to do. I went to the head of the bed and said, come out, you spirit of doubt and fear, in the name of Jesus. The woman rose up shouting and jumped out of bed. She went from not being able to get out of bed to being instantly healed. She went out in the backyard and sat down and ate watermelon with us that very afternoon. Glory to God. The Lord initiated something on his own that day. Now I'd be a fool to tell everyone who has cancer that that's the way healing is ministered. I'd be a fool to tell people, I found out how to get people healed. Just cast the spirit of doubt and fear out of every one of them. No, they may not. That may not be the problem with every person. Again, if the Lord doesn't tell you anything, just put the word into people. Put the word into yourself. There is a connection between God's word and healing. Now, there's a third scenario. I knew another woman who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer and was told by her doctor that medical science had done all they could for her. Now, terminal cancer again. When I went to pray for her, there wasn't any manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God didn't say anything to me. So notice, you had the first one, no manifestation of the Spirit. Tried to put the word into her, didn't want the word, died. Second one, same situation, went to pray, there was a manifestation of the Spirit, lady got up, she was healed. But that was God initiated. Now, this lady, medical science had done all they could for her. Said, when I went to pray for her, there wasn't any manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God didn't say anything to me. What did I do? I did the same thing I tried to do with the first woman who was dying. I gave her the word. But unlike the first woman, this woman decided she would put God's word into practice for herself. She received the word as I gave it to her and began to speak it. And do you know what happened? The same doctors who diagnosed her couldn't find any cancer in her body. It had disappeared. She was healed by hearing and speaking God's word. Years later, I went back and preached in that woman's home church. Even then, the doctors still couldn't find anything wrong with her. When the cancer disappeared, the doctors told her that if it didn't occur after a certain number of years, she would be home free. And about the same time, I revisited her church. The doctors had told her, that's it. You're home free. That cancer won't ever occur again. Remember, I did not lay hands on that woman and pray for her to be healed. It was her faith in God's word that made her whole. This is good news. Because so many people put healing out of their grasp. Well, if only. I want to be like the second woman. I want somebody to pray for me, and I want there to be a manifestation. I jump up and I'm done. The problem with that is so many people end up like the first woman then. I want somebody to come pray for me. I'm waiting for that, but nothing happens. But everybody can be like the third woman. That the word comes, and you say, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to act like that. The word, God's word says I'm healed, I'm healed. Jesus bled, he took those stripes for me, I'm not putting up with this. I'm strong. I'm healed. I'm whole. But you don't see it. You don't look like it. That has nothing to do with it. God's word said it, and I believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been looking at this for so long. I mean, why don't God heal you? God has healed me. He said, he promised, he's provided healing for me, and it will come to fruition in my body. I am strong and healed. Yeah, but if only God would move. God has moved. He sent Jesus. And I'm going to act like it. I'm done asking when God. God has done it, and I'm done with that. Everybody can do that. That's open to everybody. Amen. That's good news, because everybody in here is included in everybody. Huh? I mean, this is awesome, because right now we can leave here saying, well, I can act on the word. Jesus died for me. This is provided for me. And we can put it into practice, and we're going to talk more about that. But you speak it. Amen.